The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're live at Flowery Branch inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Had a great conversation with Raheem Morris in regards to our Falcons. If you're just tuning in and you're going, Dukes and Bell, man, is he going to change quarterbacks? No.
That's a big no.
We are getting ready for the Raiders on Monday night, but you will hear his answers to our questions in regards to that whole ordeal and how it's playing out right now. And I just think, you know, again, you can fold, you can stay the course. I don't know what the right answer is. You know why I don't know? Because I don't see Kirk Cousins in practice every day.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
As we said, it's you. I know you've done on the national show. You're doing shows. We've been called on and done shows around the country. They ask us, what's up with Kirk Cousins? No answer. Said the same things I've said on the radio. How much we love our interaction with the guy. How this team rallied around him as a leader. And then it's just kind of weird to find this kind of four-game rut where we just can't get a passing touchdown from a dude that everybody knows can do the job. Because it's twice this dude's been the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And it's hard to wrap your head around. Well, we'll ask A.J. Terrell. I know he's on the defensive side. We'll throw it at him.
A.J. joins us here inside of the Ticketmaster Studios.
Yes,
what's going on, brother? How are you, man?
I'm good.
Thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. We had Coach Ron here, and I was saying it to him, and I want to get your opinion on this, you know, about the morale right now. And look, you've been in this league now. You mm-hmm. know what the deal is. You've been on some teams that, you know, we've had losing streaks. Nope. But when it's good as it was, AJ, and it's like rolling, and we feel like, okay, we're moving in this direction, and then it goes the opposite way. How do you feel? How are the guys feeling? And like practice, what's the vibe?
Yeah, it's just adversity, you know, just the way the league goes, you just got to take it 1 week at a time and try to bounce back. And that's where we on right now. We still, you know, got an opportunity for the playoff push and just trying to go 1-0 each week.
Now, you had a pretty good day. I know it was tough for the second. There was times the secondary. It was just rough because mm-hmm. I know was part of the package kind of what we saw against the Chargers, being aggressive. You knew there was going to be more blitzing, so you guys had to be on an island.
Yeah, we was just, you know, just blowing up coverages and not getting them corrected quick enough to – go out there and give our offense more opportunities to go out there and put up points.
Right.
And you know, we just gotta dial in on things like that, and that's where we take advantage of that in the meeting room and in practice, and just trying to make sure that don't show up on film again.
AJ, was that, in your opinion, the worst week for our secondary last week? Was it our worst week of the season?
I mean, you could argue it is for sure. You know, just giving up a lot of explosive things that you know we haven't seen all season, but. Just getting back, like I said, in meeting rooms, just correcting those things, getting it off tape as quick as possible.
Hey, man, going out to Vegas. Now, we talked to Coach. You don't get to gamble. Man, I guess it's truly a business trip. What a buzzkill, man.
Yeah.
But what do you see on tape of the Raiders, man? Because we know that, you know, you got a guy, McConkey, who's here at UGA. Mm-hmm. This guy just seems like the ultimate weapon right now. Tight end. I mean, McConkey was last week.
Yeah.
You get Brock Bowers this week.
Yeah. But, you know, good team. You can't never just try to look at a team record and things like that. At the end of the day, it's the National Football League. So, it's a lot of players out here, a lot of teams that still, you know, fighting just for, you know, positions. And I just feel like, you know, we just trying to come in, like I said, control our destinies, just stack another W so we can get ready for this playoff push.
For all the stat nerds, AJ, I was telling them early in the week, they really didn't throw the ball to Jefferson when you were on him in that game last week. And I thought it was a sign of respect from not only, you know, obviously their head coach, but the quarterback. There were matchups, and they were trying mm-hmm. to do different things. But talk about matchups like that, man. I mean, I know you take on those challenges every week in the league, but there are dudes, and you know there are dudes here, and then there are dudes, right?
Exactly.
That was a dude, and every time you were locked up on him, they were not trying to throw it over there.
No, just, you know, Jefferson being a good – my fault.
You got it.
You know, him just being a great receiver himself, just going out there doing my job. You know, that's the main thing. I just hold myself to a high standard on how I play, doing my job, and just trying to help the defense out, help the team, you know, get on and off the field, give our offense opportunities, and give ourselves ops to – go out there and put points up as well.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about it with Kirk after the Tampa Bay game down in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was your best game as a Falcon. I mean, that diving interception you made near the goal line, that was unbelievable. And the way the bench reacted, just everybody was so hype on that. Do you feel that was – is that one of your top games as a pro?
One of my top plays.
Right.
But, nah, I don't think – I really don't even I don't think that was one of my top games.
Really? Okay.
Nah. But I did have a good play in that game, but, you know – Got to get that again. You know, I need more ops. So, you know, just keep doing right. The ball will find you.
So, what did you do once you got your bag?
Yeah.
What?
You got a new whip? I mean, this is the
stuff. AJ Terrell
this is
do?
What all our audience and what we talk about. You know,
because you know, we saw you in the summer and we saw you at camp. We were like, you deserve to get your bag. And, and you said to us, sitting in this room, dude, it's not up to me. I'm going to keep doing what I need to do. It worked out.
To your credit, never said anything about it.
No, you let it handle its situation, and mm-hmm. I thought you did handle that perfectly. But with that said, yeah, Mike's right. Like, for our fan base, they're like, man, you know, he's one of the top corners, paid corners in the league now, mm-hmm. which is deserving. What changes for you from a life standpoint, if anything?
You know, a lot changed, you know, just being blessed with the opportunity to, you know, that Blink and Ra and the organization blessed me with. But, you know, it definitely, turned a lot of tables and my responsibilities and things like that. But at the end of the day, I handled, you know, family business and
sure,
just took care of things like that. You know, I feel like, you know, the way I operate never was – you know, always about money and things like that. But the things that I deserve, I know came from hard work and trusting the process and things like that. So everything is, you know, taken care of.
And you give back to the community, too.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people may or may not know this.
Yep.
You know, AJ's from here. He's from
the
ATL.
He just built a club level at Westlake. I heard about that. I'm kidding. It's AJ Terrell with us here, guys.
But I do want to mention that because I think, you know, we talk about cats making all this dough, and that's great.
Yeah.
But it's also – you have been – way before that, you were giving back to this community.
Yeah. It's huge. You know, just – I feel like, you know, I'm getting my foundation, my AJ Terrell foundation off the ground. And, you know, I'm just using my – what am I trying to say? Using my platform to inspire and give to others and just bless, you know, families and, you know, other younger guys as myself and just putting them in better position, letting them see me be an example and me as just wanting to give advice and give back. And that's part of what my foundation is doing. With high schools all around Georgia, in the community. With Atlanta Mission as well.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's something that we're just trying to build all the way up. So that's what it's all about, just giving back, you know, never getting a big head and going ghost, but wanting to be seen in the city for great things.
That's great to hear. We always say all the time, I think fans don't really appreciate what everybody does off the field. Anywhere in the league, it's always something, the bad headline that makes the more news than doing good.
Yep.
AJ's, by the way, now that you do have your bag, I would imagine you get a call from Dabo need a little help, a little extra in the envelope. By the way, how excited are you for Clemson?
Yeah, I'm
I know
really
not
excited.
A great start to the season, not a great end, but now they are in the tournament.
You know, it don't surprise me. You know, I know how Dabo prepared the guys, and I've been watching all the way through. You know, my little brother there, so
right.
I've been definitely tuned in week in, week out, and you know, football working mysterious ways. You know, we needed Syracuse to beat Miami. They did it. They right. got us in the dance. And, you know, we not new to championship football. So, wasn't surprised that we was able to knock SMU down to get in. And now, you know, everybody 0-0.
Right. And Texas.
Yeah.
And
that's
I mean,
a big one.
I just think, you know, the experience and the clutch and the quarterback play, everything's kind of cooking right now.
Yeah, it get better week in, week out. You know, I feel like, you know, Cade been – growing steady, Dabo been trusting him, and you know he been trusting the process himself, and he know that the guys, his teammates, and them backing him up, and I feel like you know Dabo do a good job of just making sure everybody keep the main thing, block out all the outside noise, and just go play football.
Is Lil Bro receptive to criticism?
Got to. He on the island.
And does he accept coaching from
yeah.
him? Yeah?
For sure.
Okay. Because
yeah,
you know how it is. It's like, oh, bro, I got this.
Nah. Not little bro. He gonna listen. But, you know, that's part of the job we live in, you know. Short-term memory. You're going to get beat.
Yep.
You know, you don't want it to happen. Of course, you want to win more than you lose. But it's part of the game out there, you know, just being able to have short-term memory and just keep competing. And I feel like that's where he at, and that's what I be spilling to him week in, week out, just play his game.
Well, hey, man, best of luck out there in Vegas. I know it's been funky. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can end this losing streak. Because, again, you said it earlier, everybody realized the playoffs are still here. You just got to go take it.
Right. Yep, just got to do it. It start here, right here in practice. You know, we just go out there and do it.
Well, AJ, we appreciate you, man. And again, keep balling. I threw that out there. That was last week, but go look at the rest of the season.
That's why I said he had a good. I know it was a terrible day. He had a good day though.
Well, all things being equal. This is the thing. Like, you know, again, it's a team L.
Team
L. But when you start talking about like the secondary and guys are saying, oh, well, what's AJ doing, or what's D doing, D Oliver, or whoever it might be. Like, there were matchups last week that we won a lot, and it just didn't show on the scoreboard. And that's kind of one of those things. But, man, keep doing your thing, bro. We appreciate you stopping by, and good luck this weekend.
And Merry Christmas, too, man.
Yes, sir,
man.
Happy holidays,
for sure.
Yes, sir.
AJ Terrell joining us here on Dukes and Bell, man. We're coming back. We got a lot more to chop up here. We're going to talk about the Hawks' big win last night in New York City. Bill Belichick speaks to the media today. We'll let you hear a little bit of that as well on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're here is Jalen Johnson and DeAndre Hunter. Jalen Johnson is the unsung hero because, again, we saw the potential last year, but nobody really knew. Like, okay, how's he going to play next year when everybody knows about him? Well, you're watching it because he came out last night, 21 points, 15 boards, Mike, 7 assists. Again, he's on the verge, guys, of triple-doubles almost every other night. That's where he's living. And then Hunter scores 24 points. So for me, it's not about Trey. Trey's always been this dude. Right. It's the other guys he's getting contributions from, including Dyson Daniels.
I mentioned it earlier because in years past, you know, with or without DeJounte, DeAndre Hunter could be a guy that gets really streaky. And I talked about how many times the last few years there'd be like a 6 or 7 minute drought where DeAndre Hunter doesn't hit anything. And sometimes it's a bad miss, which leads to a transition bucket because it's a bad rebound. None of that's happening. Everybody's playing within this. And again, I didn't really know what to make of the coach. If I'm honest with Quinn Snyder, I wasn't really blown away. But now we realize the DeJounte Trey thing was the screw up. It's the clog, okay? The plumbing's been flushed out. Yeah. It's Trey's thing. Trust his teammates. Dyson Daniels works. You know, I said to Carl earlier, if we can just maybe keep this momentum. But when you play the teams later in the playoffs, the size disadvantage is going to hurt us in the front court. That's why I'd love to see us go make a move. You know, maybe they will. Maybe the wrestler will allow them, our resulting general manager, to go do something and even improve this team even more because it's fun to watch and they're finishing.
Well, you got to build on it, Mike. We always talk about that, right? You say it all the time with the Braves. Like, if we're playing like this and you feel like this team has potential.
Got to go put the chips in, man. Push the chips in.
And it does. Again, what does a 7-game series look like against the Cavs? I don't know, but we beat them twice. What's a 7-game series look like against the Celtics? I don't know. but we already beat them without Trey this year. What's a seven-game series look like against the Knicks? I don't know, but we just handled them at their place in the Garden. Right. Like, you have to think, okay, we could do something potentially. Now, we're a long ways away from the trade deadline in the spring, early spring, where, you know, in February, Mike, after the All-Star break. But the fact is, this group, I like. And I didn't know if I would. I wasn't sure what I'd right. think about this particular group. The Dyson Daniels, the mystery to me. Because right. when we got
him,
remember,
what it was.
It was like, this dude can't shoot. And then he came on our show and said, look, every time I shot the ball in New Orleans, I felt pressured. Like, if I missed a shot, I was going to get taken out. I don't feel that here. And you're seeing him play relaxed, and then his defense is just spectacular. So, good win last night, man. And now they're off to Vegas to take on Milwaukee. That game's going to be on Saturday at 4:30. And I can't wait, Mike, because now – you said it. We're here. Let's go try and win this thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we joked around about Atlanta United. You know, Darren Nils used to say we're trying to win every cup we can win. Like, we want to stack the shelf with trophies. So let's go for it, man. Plus a cool $500,000 sounds pretty good to me. I mentioned we talked about DeAndre Hunter. Even like his the way he's animated. I don't know. And again, I don't care. Whatever it is, his personal life, he's got the kid, and he just seems like he's engaged, like he's in it. I can't remember the last time I saw like DeAndre Hunter like dabbing up Trey and like woohoo. And I'm sure it's happened, but it just seems like there's a whole new energy, and hopefully they build on it, man. It's great to see. And also, Trey, this gets him back in that conversation for the All-Star game.
It does.
Vis-a-vis the Olympics. But teams got to start with the only way anyone gets any juice in this league. You got to start winning.
Yeah.
You got to start winning.
No doubt about it. 404-726-0929. Hit us up. Let us know what you think, guys, as we're live at Flowery today. More on the Falcons coming up. A couple other things going on. First and foremost, and this has to do with college football because there's a lot of things happening. UNLV hires former Florida coach Dan Mullen.
Wow.
To a 5-year deal, Mike. So for a guy who was pretty good on TV, I guess he was tired of it too and wanted to get back into the game.
Right.
He goes to UNLV. And then obviously Bill Belichick, guys.
Does UNLV is part of the new Pac-12?
I believe so.
Or the 12 pack, or whatever the hell they're going to be.
I believe you're right. And then Bill Belichick was introduced today at UNC. We're going to let you hear more of that coming up next hour, so stay tuned. As he spoke to the media today, was asked about his age and leaving there after just a few years and why he would want to coach. Very good stuff from Belichick, as everybody's, you know, enamored with that whole idea that he's taking this job and getting into the college game and not the NFL. But the Mullen thing, Mike. Bad ending for Mullen at Florida, right?
Yeah. At the end of the day, the news from Florida fans was he don't recruit. He's not hitting the recruiting trail. He's not having that oomph that he certainly had it missed. Look, if you could win in Starkville, he was the guy that really did turn that around. And unlike Jackie Sherrill, did it legally. You know, and then he really got it cooking. And then he goes to Florida, and then I think, you know, obviously the expectations were what you expect. You expect to win national championships with the Gators. I like Dan. He's a quirky guy. I do love College Football Final. He'll be missed. Him and Joey Galloway, I was telling Carl off the air, that's my favorite show on ESPN because it's just meat and potatoes, and it's fun, and Matthew Berry is funny, and they have good rapport with everybody. Either way, good luck with Dan. I mean, you know, I don't think now with UNLV boosters, it's never been a problem to recruit legally or illegally.
Yeah, it's true.
Talk to Tarkanian about that. They always never had a problem getting dudes to come to Sin City.
So that's interesting.
But you got to pay him like that quarterback that you quit because he
correct.
You know, where's my six-figure deal?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you think about all these programs, and it's funny. Part of this is, guys, because what you're seeing, the shift in college football, that there's no longer this idea that you can't go there and win, right? I mean, Colorado, example. UNC, example. Like, that is not on anybody's radar, but obviously Bill Belichick and the people he's bringing with him feel like, hey, we can turn this thing around. UNLV's never been a powerhouse. Obviously, Dan Mullen's like, look, with the way things are going, I can go there and win.
Right.
You don't take a job just for the money, and Mullen's made a lot of money. I think, Mike, he's trying to reestablish himself as one of the premier coaches in college football, and at one time he was that, one of the game's top offensive minds. I don't think he's lost that, but that is an interesting hire. And as I said, we'll let you hear more of Belichick coming up because he had some things to say today about his job at UNC.
Right, so am I right, Chris? Are they going to be part of this new Pac-12? No, I know they said. I'm reading an article that says back in September they said no thanks to the
Pac-12, turned it down.
So they're out. So
they
turned
it down.
That's not exactly as attractive then. If you're just with all due respect to the Mountain West, although Boise State showed you, although I do believe this will be the first and only time a Mountain West champion gets a bye. I think the committee will change that, will tweak that next year. There's no reason a team with the 89th weakest schedule, regardless of how close they play to Oregon, should get in a bye right now.
Yeah.
But that's the Mountain West. That's what UNLV still is.
The group of five, here's what they said. The group of five this year, conference championship was better or more important than the ACC because of the teams that were in it. And that's why you didn't get – because Clemson, remember, they were, what, a two-loss team beating a, you know, an SMU team for the championship on a walk-off field goal. So the committee just valued, and I'm with you, like Boise, I don't think they should get a bye either, but the committee's like, well, they handled their business, they won their championship pretty easily, we're going to give them a bye as one of the top four. So what's that? Three losses. The other thing.
Yeah, I just felt that, you know, that made perfect sense, but yeah, there's no reason a team with, I mean, the strength of schedule, and coming up in Guy Talk, if you miss it, I ended my, clear my throat last night with it, about the idea of bringing AI into the into the National College Football Championship. It's not the worst idea, so stay tuned for that. Hey, man, also coming up, Carl, in Guy Talk, Belichick had his opening press conference, and Carl and I will play, we played it early for guys who missed it, a very awkward round of applause because they're still getting to know Coach Mumbles in Chapel Hill. And Carl, the War of the Worlds, the original, the radio play that Orson Welles did, subsequent movies, starts in New Jersey. There's drones flying over New Jersey and now Manhattan, and your federal government has no idea what's going on. And people in New Jersey, like Chris's relatives, they're not taking this sitting down. We'll explain next. Hey, everybody. Live at the Ticketmaster Studios here in Flowery Branch. You can't laugh like that and not share what you're laughing at.
I'm sorry. You know, you get down these rabbit holes, man, on social media, and sometimes videos pop up. So there's this young lady, and she says, when you have a dog, and so the dog is sleeping, and she's trying to sneak into the kitchen and grab some chips. So they show the dog, sleep. She grabs a chip, she gets on the couch, and she opens the bag. When she opens the bag, the dog's face is already in the bag of chips.
It's unbelievable. You know, 'cause they're supposed to be the great, you know, the great nose. They can smell things from a mile away, but you're right, man. The hearing, same thing. If I make any noise around the refrigerator, boop. Little man is right there.
It just made me laugh. Yeah. That's it. And she is being so, you know, like, I am not making a sound. So it just made me laugh, man. What we got in Guy Talk,
hey,
bro?
Hey, man. Well, Belichick is now the head Tar Heel in charge. Mumbles had his introductory press conference. We got more breakdowns of his contract and some interesting little wrinkles that Oren's going to mention here in a second. But first things first, a lot of folks feel like, why are you here? Take a listen to this Q&A and then the awkward response from the Tar Heel boosters who are still getting to know Bill.
Pat Welter, WREL. Bill, what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here, that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
You know, I didn't come here to leave.
Yeah, right on, Coach. That's right. He's here for at least 3 years. He's not going to leave anytime soon until he's maybe 75.
All right, so what's the contract? What's it look like?
All right, man. Oren, talk about some of the more things that you found a little more interesting, but $10 million for his assistant coaches, $1 million for his strength staff, $5.3 million for support staff, including that general manager he hired, his buddy Lombardo, $13 million as revenue sharing. Oren, explain some of this, and then he gets a $100,000 expense account, but the buyout's what Oren is interested in.
Yeah, check this out, guys. So Belichick's buyout is $10 million until June. So essentially in the month of June 2025, June 1st, the buyout goes from $10 million to $1 million. So Belichick could leave the Tar Heels without ever coaching a game and only be on the hook for $1 million.
But here's the thing, though. I think this is tied into the NFL hiring cycle. Oren, that's my example. That's my 2 cents worth. It's going to cost you $10 million to come get him, and after all the coaches are hired, then it's fine. It's not going to go anywhere.
That's at least
that's the way I would spend it.
Also, looking at this contract, it's a five-year deal for $10 million a year, so essentially 5 years for $50 million. But only the first 3 years in the contract, there's finances to guarantee us. So the last 2 years of the deal are not guaranteed. So it is essentially a three-year deal for Belichick at UNC right now.
Okay. Yeah, man. And then is that locked in concrete too, by the way, or in stone, I should say, that his son gets to be the coach in waiting?
Steven?
I have not seen any language about Steven as of yet. But, I mean, if he's there for three and the last 2 years aren't guaranteed, I would think there'd be some plan of succession if he doesn't get fired or everything goes well for him. Like, are they going to set something up for him to where whoever is there with him is going to be the coach in waiting?
I don't know. I mean, the kid's resume is not really that impressive. I mean, it's a napkin. Anyway, moving on. Carl, are aliens off the coast of New Jersey, or worse, Iranians
from their secret
spy mothership, which may be offshore New Jersey. If you guys hadn't seen this, the video of drones, and this isn't your garden variety drone. Some of these are the size of freaking Volkswagens.
Yeah.
So a lot of folks were saying, what's the deal? So apparently the state representatives in New Jersey, if you hadn't seen the video, it made the nightly news last night. They have a meeting and basically get no answers from their state government. That basically the Defense Department, nobody is stepping up to like the question, can we go shoot one of these things down over the water and find out what the hell it is? And now they're getting closer to Manhattan, which people from the city can see it, not just folks in Jersey by the beach. So what the hell's going on here? I mean, the Chinese sent a balloon, we know that, a bunch of balloons over. So is somebody monkeying around with us with these giant drones? Because a lot of folks are begging the question, what about, you know, planes on final to Newark or LaGuardia? What's going on out here?
So the claim is, Mike and Carl, that the New Jersey government has sent up a helicopter. And when the helicopter got close enough, the drone disappeared. I don't know if it's a force field or some kind of camouflaging agent.
Come on, Carl,
this is reported.
What?
That New Jersey helicopter, it disappeared,
right,
and the pilot got so spooked out that he left the scene.
Yeah, saw that. So next time we see
the helicopter pilot?
Yes.
Helicopter pilot.
Can we scramble some friggin' F-18s and blast these things out of the sky, see what the hell it is?
Guys, you are scaring people.
And there's
right
another.
Now.
There was another Coast Guard pilot that was on his vessel and claims 50 drones shot from out underneath the water.
Oh, come on.
And followed him until he hit shore.
And come
Carl, these are documented things.
And by the way, if you say this in the Coast Guard, you're really kind of, if we're honest, limiting your advancement in the Coast Guard if you're going to just pull this one out of your butt. So he's on the record saying this stuff came out from, like, literally underneath the water. So aliens are invading Jersey. And by the way, now we're in D.C., and you know they're going to land on the Mall, and it's going to be like, oh, crap.
Independence Day.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. We got to get out of there, bro.
Listen.
I hope Jeff Goldblum can handle the computer hack.
You had me until come out of the water. 50?
There's a guy in the – it's documented. You can look it up. And the government told state legislators nothing. They have no answers for this. They even talked at the White House. I don't know. So somebody get on the case, can we?
The running theory
is should I not pay my American Express bill this month?
Can you get away with it?
Is that this stuff is so deep state that they're pointing to a group of about a dozen individuals that know what's going on here that not even the President of the United States is being briefed on.
Right.
Well, listen, I don't know if I want to know. I've told you guys this for years. You say you want to know. You don't want to know. I don't want to know, Mike. If it's that serious,
I want to know.
If we got stuff living in the oceans.
No, they're not living in these are aliens flying around, just like with the abyss.
Well,
you know, they came up from underneath.
That's my point. Well, how can they go down there and stay down there and then come out when they want to? I don't want to know.
Because the technology, look up at the sky. There's how many worlds could be out there, man. I think it's fair, a little bit hubristic. We're the only species in this whole universe.
Well, then why don't they show themselves?
What's going on?
Show themselves.
By the way, this is the full version of the X-Files song. I did not know it went full techno at the end of it. Oh, my God.
I didn't know it was a club banger. I didn't know there's a whole Scully's out there dancing, you know, doing his thing. Hey, man. So you all love the Christmas story. We're going to see it on Christmas Day, the movie with Ralphie and his family, right?
Christmas Eve, 24 hours.
It's on 24/7. Well, you know the scene where the kid goes and he double dog dares him to lick the flagpole? Yeah, and obviously don't put your tongue on something that's frozen solid, you know, it's metal. Because, I mean, holy cow, the cops are here. Holy cow, the fire department's here. Remember Ralphie leaves him? He's like, he just shrugs and goes back into class.
I have nothing to do. I can't do anything.
Well, a man has found himself in a sticky situation. He licked a frozen billboard on display in Sydney, Australia's Pitt Street Mall. It was an ice sculpture set up by a local energy drink to promote its refreshed drinks in Sydney's shopping district. One of the folks thought it'd be cool to stick his tongue on the sculpture, which it turned out on a rather warm and humid day that his tongue stuck to the ice sculpture. So literally, the man was unable to remove his tongue from the frozen billboard despite efforts from security guards who tried pouring water over the man's tongue to melt the ice. It's not clear how long he was stuck there, but he appeared to remain calm and cool under the ordeal till eventually, I guess, somebody pulled out a cigarette lighter and melted the ice around it. And eventually he was okay. But I mean, but don't do that, stupid head.
No, I think people have seen that movie over the years, and people don't think that that's possible. Like, that's real.
Yes.
That's real.
Your warm, moist tongue on a cold surface.
Do you have
to
use that word?
Oh, yeah. I got time for one more, Oren, real quick. I know we got to catch a break. Falcon Report's coming up. A British legislature from the Conservative Party Kemi Badenoch, who was elected head of the opposition party last month, in an interview about her work day and how she doesn't have time for lunch, says that what's a lunch break? Lunch is for wimps. She makes the comment that I'm not a sandwich person. I don't think sandwiches are a real food, which has sparked a huge debate. She says it's what you have for breakfast. I will not touch bread if it's moist.
Okay, there you go again.
She said it, and as a woman using the word in a sentence.
So a sandwich is not a what?
She's saying that a sandwich isn't real food, and it sparked this huge debate on talk shows and radio
it's
and everything.
It's got meat on it. It's food.
Meanwhile, for what it's worth, the prime minister is quite happy about a sandwich lunch and stated, seeing there was a sandwich issue that he could take advantage of, a sandwich is a great British institution because, of course, it was, you know, the Lord sandwich who said, hey, let's stick two pieces of bread on that. So anyway, there you go. So it's a controversy raging in the UK. There's your guide talk brought to you by Dukes of Bell. Hey,
is
Manette.
Sandwich a food to you?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. It's a hearty lunch. If done properly, a sandwich can be a meal.
Oh, I
and
agree.
A French dip is a meal.
Oh, love
right?
French
Come
dip.
On. Man.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. I don't know what she's talking about. All right, coming up, Falcon Report.
You wacko.
We react to what Coach Raw had to say. And if you didn't hear, we'll let you hear a few of the things he talked about. Also, we got to talk about
the aliens.
You got me freaked out about this.
They're coming out of the sea.
I'm just saying.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
You got me freaked
They're
out about this.
They're flying over New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, eventually. Yeah. We got to talk about this situation that we're in. Well, we'll tell you about it. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.